And that's about it, I guess, Lorimer said when he had finished telling everybody what he knew of the situation. He did that about as well as it could be done, Castillo thought. Would it be all right if I called you Eddie? Captain Timmons asked. Yes, sir, of course. That was a good jab, Eddie, Captain Timmons said. I don't have any questions. Anybody else?
I got a couple, Big Frank said.
Sir?
Lorimer asked politely.
That Irish-Argentine cop, Duffy, Jr. was on his way to sea when these slime balls grabbed him. Are there a lot of Irish cops down there? And is this one of the good ones? And what's the Gendarmería Nacional?
Lorimer glanced at Castillo, who nodded just perceptibly.
I know Byron trusted Commandante Duffy, sir, Lorimer said, but maybe Colonel Muntz can speak to that?
I know Commandante Duffy, Muntz said. Not well, but well enough to know that he's a good man. I haven't spoken to him since this happened, but he's about the first man I'm going to talk to when we get down there. I'm sure he's almost as upset about Agent Timmons as you are.
Big Frank nodded. Muntz went on.
So far as Irish people in Argentina, the ethnic mix in Argentina and Uruguay and Chile, but not Paraguay, is much like that in the States. My family came from Germany, for example. There are more people from Italy than from Spain, and many Irish. There are many Irish police, especially in the Gendarmería Nacional.
Which is what?
Big Frank said.
A police force with authority all over Argentina, Muntz said. They are a paramilitary force, more heavily armed than the federal police. They wear brown rather than blue uniforms and enjoy the trust of the Argentine people.
What does that mean? Big Frank asked. The other caps aren't trusted?
Can we agree, Captain, that dishonest police are an international problem?
Muntz asked reasonably.
And that the problem is made worse by all the cash available to drug people? Or, for that matter, the criminal community, generally?
I'd have to agree with that, the mayor said.
Let me put it this way, Muntz said. When the Jewish Community Center was blown up in Buenos Aires several years ago.
Blown up? Captain Timmons asked. By who?
Most of us believe the Iranians had something to do with it, Muntz said. But the point I was trying to make was, when it became obvious that protection of synagogues, etc., was going to be necessary, the Jewish community, there are more Jews in Argentina than any place but New York, demanded and got the Gendarmería Nacional as their protectors.
Meaning they didn't trust the other caps? Captain Timmons asked.
Meaning they trusted the Gendarmería more, Muntz said.
Yes, they, Colonel, Big Frank said. Take that as a compliment.
Thank you.
What was it you said you did for Colonel Castillo?
Whatever he asked me to do, Captain.
Slick, Colonel,
Big Frank said, smiling.
Well, these bastards were waiting for Junior when he went to the airport, which means somebody told them he was going to the airport, Captain O'Day said.
Or they set up their roadblock in the reasonable belief that some American agent was probably going to be on the Buenos Aires flight, Muntz said. It may have had nothing to do with Agent Timmons going to see Commandante Duffy.
And your gut feeling?
Big Frank asked softly.
That Agent Timmons was specifically targeted.
Big Frank nodded in agreement. Special Agent Timmons' mother inhaled audibly.
Well, these bastards don't seem to mind whacking people, Wiskowski said. They didn't have to kill Junior's driver, for Christ's sake.
This is going to drag on for a long time, Castillo thought, and probably turn into a disaster.
They were sending a goddamn message, Stan.
One of the others, whose name Castillo had forgotten, began, but was interrupted by His Honor the Mayor, who who apparently was thinking the same thing Castillo was.
"Well, I think we've learned everything that's known," the mayor said. "My question is, what happens next, Colonel Castillo? You're going right down there?"
"There are some things we have to do here first," Castillo said. "Ambassador Montvale, the DNI."
"The what?"
Sergeant Mulroney asked. "The Director of National Intelligence," Castillo replied. "He's going to have all the experts in this area, from the various intelligence agencies, waiting for us when we get back to Washington."
"Well, that should be helpful," the mayor said. "And with help in mind, Colonel, I thought Sergeant Mulroney, with his experience in narcotics, might be useful to you, and I asked the commissioner to put him on temporary duty with you."
"Oh, Jesus. What he's going to be useful doing is keeping the family aware of how we're stumbling around in the dark." His Honor apparently saw something in Castillo's face.
"I thought of that immediately after I last spoke with the president," the mayor said. "Do you have the authority to take him with you? Or would it be better for you if I suggested this to the president?"
Talk about slick. No wonder he's the mayor for life.
"Welcome aboard, Sergeant Mulroney," Castillo said. "Glad to have you."
"I sort of thought that you'd have the authority," the mayor said. "The president told me that he places his absolute trust in you. So I told Charlie to pack a bag and his passport before coming over here.
So you're going right back to Washington?"
"No, sir, we've got to make a couple of stops first." The mayor stood up, obviously, to leave.
"Really?"
The translation of that is, "And where are you going to waste time instead of getting to work on this immediately, as I expect you to?"
Oh, what the hell.
When in doubt, tell the truth.
"Las Vegas, Mr. Mayor. The airplane needs some maintenance, and we're having radios installed that will permit us to communicate securely with the White House, no matter where we are."
The mayor examined him carefully, then smiled.
"Just like Air Force One, huh?"
"Almost, Mr. Mayor. When my plane is in for work, it takes them forever and a day," the mayor said. "I suppose for you, things go a little quicker, don't they?"
The translation of that is, "And how long is that going to take?"
"They expect us, sir. They'll work through the night to get us out as quickly as they can." The mayor nodded, then went through the room, shaking all the men's hands and kissing the women on the cheek. Then he walked out of the living room with Captain O'Day following closely. Mrs. Timmons kissed Lorimer, then grabbed Castillo by both arms.
"I'll pray for you, Colonel, to get my son back soon, before anything happens to him."
"Thank you. We'll do our best." Then everybody shook hands with everybody else. The mayor was standing on the sidewalk, surprising Castillo, when he and the others came down the stairs. Castillo then thought he understood why when a black Lincoln limousine turned the corner.
"Ah, there it is," the mayor said, and turned to Castillo. "If there's anything you need, Colonel, give me a call. Sometimes I'm not without influence. I can be helpful."
"Thank you very much, sir." Captain O'Day opened the door of the limousine.
"You'll have to use the jump seats," the mayor said, "and someone will have to ride up front, but there'll be room for all of you." He nodded at the others. "It's been a real pleasure to meet all of you."
Then the mayor of Chicago got in the front seat of one of the black Crown Victoria police interceptors, and Captain O'Day drove him away.